domestic political concerns then are threatening to overshadow international statesmanship for John Howard as he readies himself to host the biggest group of world leaders ever to gather in Australia. This afternoon, the Prime Minister launched a document charting the dramatic rise of the global middle class. But almost every question was about Australia's military commitment to Iraq or about his abysmal standing in the polls. Chief political correspondent Chris Uhlman is at the APEC Media Centre in Sydney's Darling Harbour. These documents that they put out are supposed to, in some broad way, set the agenda for APEC, are they?
They certainly are, at least on this level of the APEC and the rise of the global middle class, as this is dubbed, this document by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. And it basically shows two trends, Mark, and that's the unprecedented rise of the middle class. It says that by 2030, 2 billion people will have significant discretionary spending power. 800 million of those will be in China. And the second trend it tracks is the dramatic reduction in poverty. Now, the percentage of people, it says, in absolute poverty in East Asia and the Pacific fell from 500 million in 1990 to 200 million in 2003, and that could be down to 20 million by 2030. The Prime Minister said these were astonishing figures.
They underline the enormous value of globalisation and the importance of continued economic growth. They also underline the uninformed pig-headedness of those who demonstrate against APEC in the name of helping the poor and the dispossessed and the alienated. The truth is that economic growth is the sure path out of poverty rather than being a process of condemning people to poverty.
Of course, when I think about a lot of those things that he was talking about there, I don't only think of China, I think of India, and that's the uninvited guest. He probably didn't want to bring that up, did he?
No, and of course, to India, the Prime Minister would like to see at the next meeting of APEC, and there is a push here for that to happen. There's a counter-push as well from some saying that APEC's already a little bit too large, but they are the empty seat at the table, and they are an enormous booming economy rivaling China's.
But Chris, you say that really, despite the fact that John Howard wanted to talk about these things, and undoubtedly they are in a global sense important, nobody else wanted to talk about them.
No, that's right. His affairs, if you like, were dominated very much by domestic political constraints. He did get to talk about the economy a bit. There was some interest in that. But, of course, as many journalists, their main interest was that they wanted to talk about the possible negatives of the growth in the economy, 4.3% growth, possibly putting pressure on interest rates. He was asked whether this Formula One car, which Peter Costello keeps talking about, might run the risk of riding off the rails or run the risk of taking a corner too far and go off the track. He preferred, of course, a cricketing analogy.
Well, if I can borrow an analogy from another sport, the batsman having reached a double century is displaying both defensive and offensive tactics, the equal of those that have got him to the double century. The gap between bat and pad is no wider, and his cover drives are just as immaculate.
The Prime Minister using a cricketing metaphor. Now, Chris, do you get a sense that the government is floundering, just trying to find a way of reaching the electorate at the moment?
There is a sense of desperation in the government at the moment, though not coming from the Prime Minister. It seems that he is one of those people who thrives somewhat on adversity, but you get a sense from those around him that they are grasping at issues in order to try and find something that will have some kind of bite with the electorate. Now, I've heard lots of different views from within the party, either within the Federal Political Party or around the country, about the fact that some Liberals are beginning to despair somewhat, some members of the coalition, but there are others in government who are still quite convinced that once the election is called, there will be a change in mood in the electorate. What they're hanging on to is that the electorate has not yet begun to focus on what change means, and when that happens, there will be a significant shift in the polls. Now, whether that's enough now, given the distance that's been growing over the last poll that we saw, the poll that came out this morning, whether that's enough time in an election to bring that back remains to be seen.
Yeah, so looking at those polls, you might have thought a couple of months ago that if they could pull back 1% a week, they might just make it by election day. But now it's getting towards the point where they're going to need 3 or 4% a week, and you can't imagine them being able to do that.
It does seem like a very long, very large distance. There are some that still don't believe that the nation can be polled accurately. I was told that the other day, and so there'll be some distance in that, they believe, to go. They believe that the National Party voters being undervalued, as it quite often is, and there are some now talking about the fact that they simply don't believe this latest poll, that it is too much of a change in too little time to really be a fair indication of what's going on.
Chris Uhlman, our Chief Political Correspondent at the APEC Conference Centre.